What's up, everybody? Anthony here from the Weird Crew Podcast, and we are coming at you once again. I am joined, as always, by the lovely Cynthia. Cynthia, are you there? Talk to me. How's it going? How was your day? I know you've been running around doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's been a crazy day. Hi, everybody. Yeah, it's been a crazy day, but I made it home.
You made it.
In the nick of time.
And I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Always enjoy your presence on the podcast.
Aw, I appreciate that.
Guys, if you haven't already, go check us, me and Cynthia, out on the latest episode of the Suffolk City podcast. Cynthia was the first podcast you were ever on. I've done podcasts before. This is your first podcast. This is the first podcast we've ever done as a team. I think it turned out really, really good. It's like a 35-minute conversation. So guys, go check out the Suffolk City podcast where you can hear me and Cynthia talk about flight attendant stuff and dead bodies and all that good stuff.
It was quite a ride, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Yep. So. Yep. Me too. Yeah. I was recently also on a Mime Soapbox podcast with my good friend, Drew. Drew, are you there? Talk to me, buddy. You got your own podcast?
I do. Yep. Like you said, Mime Soapbox. We've done a few together and it's always real fun.
Always good. And I have a superpower of being able to recite people's the year they were born, you know?
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Found
that was really weird. I don't even want to bring it up again.
I know, but I have nothing else. That is my only superpower. I know what year people were born. So it is what it is. All right. Listen, we are joined by a very special guest today. I am so, so freaking excited to have on Hannah Fearman. Hannah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Anthony. Hi, Drew. Hi, Cynthia. I'm so happy you guys had me on. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you just fine. You sound great. I first came across you, and I think like most people, the VHS movie, right? Is that like your biggest known thing as the siren in the VHS movie?
Yeah, that's what I'm best known for. Absolutely. For better like or worse.
No, I think it's really, really good. It's like, I think it's, I've seen all the VHS movies. I know Drew hasn't seen the latest one, 84, but I got to say out of every VHS movie, that was the best short film out of all of them. I'm putting
you know,
that
I'm
down
not,
right now.
I'm not going to argue with you. I thought it was pretty damn good too.
So, you know, if there's one thing I want to ask you, it's like, is there one, do you like, obviously, you know, you've been in a lot of horror stuff. Is that by choice? Do you really enjoy the horror genre? Is that something that, you know, you really enjoy doing?
I really enjoy the horror genre because of the people and because of the flexibility of the fans, you know, because they'll give a little indie with no name people a chance and they'll tell you whether they like it or not. And I just think it's a very welcoming genre. It just allows artists to think completely outside the box and to try out new things and fail or succeed. You know, they'll give it a fair shake.
No, I mean, I definitely agree with that. And there's so much of the horror genre because you can also add comedy. And, you know, a lot that's kind of like the new creep show, the TV series. They do horror, but kind of with like a little comedy twist. And you were in a couple of episodes of that, and I think you're one of the only actors, if not the only actor, to appear in multiple episodes with two different roles.
Yeah, that's what Greg told me. And I was surprised, and I was talking about it with the makeup artists at the time, because they were, you know, oh, Hannah, you're back. And I'm like, yeah. Don't sound so excited, guys. They were like, well, there was a couple of extras, like featured extras, but yeah, you're the only person that's actually had two proper roles because of the nature of it. You know, it's segment by segment, but because I was so unrecognizable in the two different segments that they decided to.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the one was you because, you know, you had the blonde hair. You just look different in that one, I guess, as opposed to like your normal role. You did the one with Justin Long, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm making sure.
Those were all wigs and fabulous wigs and fabulous wardrobe. I had so much fun on that set and I got to do this outrageous accent and, that was a really good time. I had a really good time. Everybody was so cool. And, you know, it was shot in Atlanta and I'm from Atlanta. Well, I lived there most of my life. And so everybody there was just my buddies. So, and they were shooting multiple segments at the same time, but they had read the call sheet and met me in wardrobe, and they were like, surprise, Hannah, you know, and I was just like, holy crap. And this was like right in the middle of like, you know, coronavirus quarantine, and I hadn't seen humans in a really long time. And then all of a sudden all my buddies were there, and it was just like Christmas. It was just like, it was so much fun.
I mean, even Derek was telling us that, like, you know, when he was, you know, shooting a Creepshow holiday special, you know, for the first half of the movie, he actually has to just be this silent guy who just sits in the back and looks tough. And he said that he had to try so hard not to laugh, you know, while it was filming, that he was literally having to bite his lip. Almost to the point to where it was bleeding, just so he wouldn't bust out and laugh in the middle of the scenes.
I've been there, because you do not want to be that person that busts the take, no matter how funny it is, because the AD is going to be pissed. I mean, everybody else is going to laugh along with you, but the AD is never going to forgive you. Yeah.
I guess it makes for good outtakes, right? Every now and then. I guess you just don't want to overdo it.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that... I don't know if you've noticed this too, but with my film projects or television projects, the ones that I had the most fun on are usually the worst movies. And I think that might be, I think that might be why, just because, you know, so much of the footage can't be used.
Like, is it like, do you know it's a bad movie when you're doing it, or it's just, it just so happens that when you look back on it, you're like, oh, that was a terrible movie, but so much fun to do.
Yeah, because I'll be like, guys, you got to see this movie. I had so much fun. and then my buddies will be like, yeah, I watched it.
And they're like,
yeah,
not.
Yeah, that was.
Okay, I gotcha.
That was terrible, man.
They say terrible? Do they ever use, like, I thought they would be like, that was interesting, which is such a, like, non-word. But,
yeah, they say interesting, they mean terrible.
Right.
But my father will be like, oh, wow. He calls me Rose. That's my middle name. And he's like, well, Rose, you really missed the boat on that one. That was.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
okay.
Boy, that was.
Yeah, that's an old school saying, you missed the boat. If someone says you missed the boat, it's just like, you just got to put your head down in shame. You know what it means. Like,
I'm sorry, Father.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have disappointed you.
but Creepshow was the exception, where I had a blast doing both seasons, and I think both turned out really, really well.
There was a question I wanted to ask you that me and Drew talked about earlier, and they've made multiple VHS movies, and, you know, Shudder, you've been on Shudder before, and Shudder, I don't know if they produced it, but they obviously, you know, they gave the new VHS 84 platform. At any point, were you ever asked to come back and reprise your role or do a different role in any of the VHS movies, or is that something that you were even interested in doing?
I would be interested in doing that. Absolutely. I haven't been asked for either directing or acting, but I would be game. I think that would be a lot of fun. I love the folks at Bloody Disgusting. I love Brad Miska. He's a wonderful producer and friend of mine. And I like how much freedom they give their directors. You know, it's just like, basically, do whatever you want to do. Just make it gratuitous and scary as fuck. Can I cuss on here?
Oh, no, please, yeah, yeah.
What if we were like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Horror girls.
That's me. Well, I declare.
As we're talking about these movies that are, like, all bloody and gory. And but don't you dare say the F word. No, it's totally fine.
My ears can't handle it.
So yeah. I have a question for you. So you guys are flight attendants, huh?
Cynthia and I are.
Did you know I used to be a flight attendant?
No way.
What?
Yeah, I used to fly for World Airways back when they were a thing.
Wow.
It's charter airline, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, but the charter life is way different.
It really was a lot of fun. It was pretty crazy. It was pretty...
You enjoyed it, though. It's a lifestyle. It's an adjustment, too. If you've never done it, you know, either you love the lifestyle or you don't.
Well, I really enjoyed it, but... I would try to put my days off back to back, month to month, so that I could do movies. And I flew for 2 years, and I was able to do two features. But I didn't feel like that was quite enough that I was able to, you know, because the movies move around so much and schedules change and that sort of thing. So I ended up, only flying for 2 years, but I had a fantastic time.
I think it helps you meet a lot of people you wouldn't have necessarily, like, there's certain jobs that are like that. I imagine doing films is like that. Flying is like that. Maybe podcasting. It's, you kind of meet people you would have never met otherwise, right?
It's wonderful like that. Yeah. I think that I probably learned a lot and draw from a lot of that as an actor, because I met so many characters.
And one would even say that as a flight attendant, you have to be an actor. you have to put on your face every time you get on the plane. Yeah. You have to be almost an exaggerated version of yourself every time you get on the plane. But it's great.
It is great. I really enjoyed it. It was like I said, well, like you pointed out, charter is a little different from commercial. Yes. We were flying mostly military charters and football teams. And I think we flew Oprah's people once. So it was a bizarre choice. Because
even within our own companies, we have charter flights like that. Like at one point, we were doing some of those quote unquote rescue flights in the Middle East when all that stuff was happening. And so you get like the Broncos, or you get you get like military. But if I were to compare it with my day to day, normal, just like, Denver to wherever, it's a whole different ballgame. It's just especially when you have military on board. That's like a whole different, even from like football players, that's just a whole different thing.
Yeah. I that's what mostly I flew was football players and military. And
two things. Yeah.
I would be like, can I stow your rocket launcher, sir?
And then I don't know if you noticed, but like they still have to go through quote unquote security, but they have like all of their weapons. So it's such a like weird, you're just like, hi, that's a really big gun you've got there. And it's like, for real. It's a little bit trippy because you're not, I mean, I don't know if you were ex-military, but like I'm not. So to see that sort of thing like on your regular aircraft is just kind of like, ooh, hello.
I got used to it. But whenever I was just like, can I stow your gun? The Marines would be like, that's not a gun. That's a weapon, ma'am. Please don't call it a gun.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. And I guess it's because this is my rifle. This is my gun. It's a slang for penis. So they would laugh and be like, ma'am, don't. I think it's a Marine thing.
It sounds like it. Marines are a totally different breed anyway, within the military.
They have their own little lingo.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I like them, but yeah, definitely different breed.
Oh, they were so polite and so incredibly lovely. But the dudes wouldn't even fit in their seats. They were so big. And same with the football players. We had to like put,
especially like up, linebackers, right? You've got
put up the armrests and like to take out a seat so they would fit in the aircraft.
Well, imagine how I feel when I have someone else who is also my size and we have to both share a jump seat. It's like,
how big are you? I'm about
5'9", 5'10", but I'm about 220, like I'm pretty solid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that must be uncomfortable. Yeah.
Like if I'm sitting next to him, he's like, oh, cool, I got space. But if he's sitting next to another dude his size, it just looks like two linebackers, like
cuddling
by the door. Yeah, cuddling by the door.
there's no way you can't like touch each other. Like, legs are bumping up against each other, arms are bumping up against each other. If you got to reach for the phone, you're going to bump each other.
Turbulence. Ooh, I would love to see that. You and turbulence with another dude, just like jiggling in the sea. Oh, that would be so great.
I would love to see that, she said.
Oh, Anthony.
Drew, are you still there, brother?
He went to sleep.
Have you? I am. I'm not a flight attendant.
No worries. I'm just making sure you didn't fall off the face of the earth.
No, I'm still here. I'm letting you guys, you know, catch
Are
up.
Are we boring you? You've flown
your culture
before.
Thing.
Drew, oh, yeah, Drew, of course. Drew, do you have a question for Hannah?
I do. We can finish your flight attendant reminiscing, though.
No, we could do this for hours.
Yeah, you got to stop us, Drew. You got to stop us.
All right. Well, yeah, I got one, I guess, or even a topic to bring up, but I think it's in a week or two, but Days of the Dead, and I know you're booked for it, which is real exciting.
Yes.
I've been there a handful of times, so if you have any questions or anything, if it's worth your time, you know, let me know, obviously. And, you know, I've helped, like, security there and a few other things. You haven't been to Days of the Dead before, right?
Yes, I've done, let me think.
Or not the Atlanta one.
Yeah, I was.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no. Did I miss it? I go to most of them.
That's okay.
And I thought this is your first time around.
No, I was a last minute guest, and I wasn't announced, so that's probably why.
I was living
in Atlanta, so yeah. So I was just like, "Hey, I'm around the corner." They're like, "Come on!" So, yeah.
See, I like your southern accent. Come on,
come on.
I think it was even prior. Anthony brought to me, you know, a little bit ago, you know, that we were going to have the opportunity to talk to you, which is super exciting because he knows I'm a horror guy, and I've touted how much I love VHS since, you know, day one to everybody for the last decade. But me and him have bonded recently, very much so, on our enthusiasm for horror movies. And then I was telling him about the Days of the Dead convention, because I went to the first one. I've been, you know, tons of them. They're fun, and it's coming up. And I have a few friends that are going, and I hopefully intend to as well. And he's wasn't quite aware yet. And we were looking through the list of all, you know, the guests and the A-list or whatever. And then you showed up, and we're like, wait a minute. You know, like, aren't we talking to her around the same time she's actually going to be here? And lo and behold, here you are. So that's pretty awesome. What do you think about Days of the Dead as a whole? I assume you like it since you're doing it a second time, right?
Yeah, I'm doing it two more times. I'm doing Atlanta in a few weeks, I believe. And then Chicago. And yeah, I really enjoy it. I think it's a very well put together convention.
Oh, yeah, it's super fun. It's such a weird convention vibe too. I would never dare venture to one of these 20,000 to 40,000 person conventions, but some of them are so overwhelming or uncomfortable, I guess, just the sheer mass of people and chaos and things to behold. But Days of the Dead, such a nice, calmer, inviting and personal environment. I think it really stands out because of that.
Yeah, I feel that way as well. And I like it especially because it's specifically horror. And I get overwhelmed at the comic cons because it's just like everything. And but with the horror conventions, I just feel right at home, partly because, you know, people actually know who I am. And and partly because, yeah, it's just like it's more condensed. It's just it's a different vibe.
Yeah, it really is. The funniest thing is the first year it happened, and I think it's been going for like 6 or 7 years at this point, but instead of hosting it in Atlanta for the Georgia event, they did it in Peachtree City, which I'm sure you know, but, you know, for those listening, it's like 45 minutes southwest from Atlanta, closer to south. But they booked it in a small, like, golf hotel resort. Esque place on, you know, Peachtree City is full of golf courses.
Yeah.
And they booked it there, and it got so big for its britches. Not only did they have to shuttle, you know, hundreds of people in from different parking lots across the city, which that city,
that would have been a clusterfuck. That
greener grass,
terrible.
But, you know, greener grass is even based on the area. It's that awkward and uncomfortable of a place. So you're carting all these horror fans to this one golf course hotel in the middle of Peachtree City, which is like Delta boomer golfer retirement heaven. And so they're circusing all these freaks around and into the town to meet their celebrity fans. But it became such a huge event, they had to move it to Atlanta, to the, you know, the main hotel that most of these, like, the massive conventions are using now even. So it's
cool.
It's been
really
cool
funny
to watch it grow, you know?
That's really funny. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's some freaks in Peachtree City too.
Oh, there are. Oh, yes.
I might know a couple of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's where my airline was based.
Oh,
oh yeah. So
there's
right.
that too. That's funny.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
The connections. Huh?
Oh, so many.
The web is weaved or whatever. That's funny. But I think too, like Drew. So you're saying, so is that place like a? It really is like a bunch of old white dudes playing golf, and then all of a sudden, there's like a murdery, horror-y type convention.
Yeah,
that's
100% the case.
And then not only that,
heart
like
so happy because here's why, and you know, like I'm not shading anyone. I know the type just from flying all over the place. We know the type. Like it would bring so much joy to my heart because I know they look at people sideways for like the slightest thing. It could be like, she has pink hair, right? Like simple thing. Just to see like a bunch of people show up in the most terrifying, like, because I'm guessing it's kind of like a Comic-Con where you dress up, right?
A lot of people do, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got like people dressing up and you've got people dressed up in a I'm guessing a very particular way. They're not wearing like suits. That would oh my god, the joy that would bring me to see somebody's like mind explode.
And Cynthia, you rude, also but have to understand that Peachtree City, it's not just like a bunch of old people playing golf in golf carts. Literally everyone has a golf cart. There are, like, you can get around in a golf cart. You don't need a car. In Peachtree City, yeah, you can literally get around in a golf cart. It's golf cart city.
They have golf lanes everywhere. You can go to the store in a golf cart.
Okay, but see, that I would so dig that aspect of it. Like, just everyone in golf carts. Like, I can't see a major accident. Like, major, major.
You'd be surprised.
I mean, I'm sure, but like... Beep beep, get out of the way. That's really cute. The boomer though, like just to watch a boomer's mind melt would bring me great joy. It really, really would.
All right, well we need to get it back down in Peachtree City. We need to get you back down here, Cynthia.
So
Georgia.
But guys, like, okay, so you got Pinewood there. So, you know, Pinewood has got all the Walking Dead people, they're probably a little bit used to it by now. And also, like, a lot of actors I know live there too. So maybe they're a bit more desensitized.
Well,
than-
but then maybe what I meant to say is I would have loved to see the very beginning of that.
Yeah, that
like
would have been
the, like the clutching pearls moment. That would have been great. Cause now I'm sure, like you said, yeah, that's totally true. And it's kind of cool to see that, Georgia is holding its own with the film industry. I really have to say, like, it's really refreshing to see other states be able to have, you know, for lack of a better word, limelight on it. Like, it's not just all Hollywood all the time. Or if you're going to film, like, a Western, you know, all the typical places you go. But, like, that's really, really cool. You know, Georgia.
A little nod of respect, and it's turned blue. It's crazy.
Oh, very happy for them.
It's amazing.
Very happy
for
them. Especially for their
history. Listen, we got Drew on the podcast. Let's not talk too much about
that
blue stuff.
No, but I'm happy for the oh, fucking
Drew, come on, man. No, I'm just picking at you.
Drew's laughing. He's like, whatever, guys.
Drew is exiting the chat.
But he was like, I'm out. You said blue.
You guys are boring. Okay, I'm sorry. I take it back. I didn't mean to get political, but I'm just saying
listen, we can all we're all cool here. Everyone's
there's been
cool.
A major shift, you know.
Everyone can take it, yeah.
But I think too, because of the history of Atlanta, like you've got what is that huge lake? Lanier, where it used to be a black community, a thriving black community, and then they were like, break it down and we're gonna have a lake here now,
and we did a whole episode on that, on how creepy the lake is.
I didn't mention that because I didn't know at the time. And then you've got the Atlanta Ripper that was like terrorizing the black community. So I feel really happy for Atlanta to have that, to have Even, you know, Will Smith had his company down there for a minute. I don't know if he pulled out because of anything, but I know he had it down there for a while. So it's, I'm really happy for Atlanta. That's like a really cool, and what a unique genre to have it in. I'm not a personal fan of the genre. I think because of my anxiety is too high to be able to like sit back and enjoy that. But I do love wins, you know, like wins for whatever city or state that's doing its thing. So
well, that's why you have me, Cynthia, and then you watch me play horror video games.
I can watch that. Like, Hannah, do you play okay, I have a couple questions for you. One yeah, okay. being like, okay, so does being in these type of movies ease you into feeling less scared about nightmarish things, or does it hype up your imagination?
It's okay, so reading scripts I have a difficult time with because I get really carried away with my imagination, but actually watching horror movies I laugh inappropriately.
Oh, but how about being in one, like seeing the special effects, being a part of it, so you're actually seeing the background stuff?
It's really not scary anymore. I've done so many horror movies that it takes a lot to scare me. Well, more than it used to. I'm a fraidy cat, but yeah. So people will be like, "Hey, Hannah, you got to watch this because you know you're directing this, and I you know my producers want me to watch certain things," and I'm just like, I'm not going to tell you which ones.
Right.
But, you know, Damien Maffei, he was like, "Hannah, I want you to watch this movie." And I watched it and I was like, "That ending was hilarious." And he's like, "That's fucked up, man. That's not okay." I'm like, no, go back, rewatch it. That shit's funny. He's like, "That's not funny, Hannah." No, it's not supposed to be funny. And I wasn't funny.
But I think I kind of agree with you because it's not based on real life, right? Like it's. For some of the stuff you're doing, right? So it can be funny because it's like a ludicrous situation, right?
Yes, that, and because I make movies, so I see everything that's going on.
Okay, that makes more sense.
From the perspective of a filmmaker, and I'm just like... But also, yeah, I guess I'm just a little desensitized. So just
And I am too, and this is something that we've talked about. You know, when you... pretty much seen tons of horror movies. Playing video games is a little more scary, you know, because you're actually controlling the character or whatnot. But you do become desensitized to it. So every now and then when you come across just like a really good movie, which just has certain parts which still fuck with you, you're like, wow, they did a really good job. Like, did you see Saint Maud, Hannah?
No.
You should watch Saint Maud when you get a chance.
Okay.
It's not scary.
He's
like
he's already giving you homework over here.
Okay.
It's not scary. But no, I mean, you know, when we talked about it on our year-end podcast episode, it was my favorite horror movie of last year. I don't know if it came out last year, but that was the first year that I watched it. So it was my horror movie of the year. And even me and Drew were talking about it because Drew likes, you know, ambiguous endings where, you know, it's up to your mind. You create the ending for yourself and then you go down like Reddit rabbit holes. I'm like, just give me the answers. I need all the answers. I don't want an ambiguous ending.
Yeah, I have a
ending.
Hard time with that.
So,
type of ending. The
one good thing that this movie really did is, I'll say a couple good things. One was the scary parts were really scary and they really fucked with me. And it was ambiguous literally all the way up until like the last 10 seconds where you're like, okay, this is going to end and I'm still not going to know what's happened. And then like the very last 10 seconds, you're like, holy shit. Wow.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Saint Maud was so well done.
So
I reached
it gives
out
you
to,
a good, yeah. like you understand what happened at the end.
I reached so out to the director. I didn't know who she was at the time, and that's the only movie I ever saw of her. And I think that might be her first movie that she's ever made. I reached out to her, tried to get her on the podcast. I'm not saying she ignored me, but you know how it is. People just get busy and stuff like that. But Hannah, you are also a director. So are you working on a movie currently? Is it already done? Have you worked on movies in the past? Like what's your current schedule looking like?
Yeah, I shot a segment of Dead by Midnight 2. I wrote and directed, I wrote with my then husband, a segment of that anthology. It was a horror comedy anthology, and it's not out yet. And it's the second So the first one has to come out too, but it's Dead by Midnight. And then my friends, Damien and Felissa Rose and, those guys who I'd been acting with for a long time asked me to direct the feature Dark Circles, which I shot a few months back, and I am supposed to start editing next month, and I'm really excited about that. It's a psychological horror. And
okay, see, I can get behind a psychological
horror. Well, you know we're going to watch that. Yeah,
that I can get behind. Wait, okay, no, wait. No, no. Hannah, questions. I have questions now.
Don't make her give away the whole movie.
Okay, psychological. It's not a psychological thriller. It's a psychological. Wow, I can't talk.
It's horror. A psychological horror thriller, and okay. But I think you'll be able to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely. Listen, I'm following you on Instagram. You are fucking your eyes are, man. Cutie pie, patootie pies.
Well,
for
thank
sure,
you.
For sure. No, for real, for real. Like, and that's what I think is so crazy. Like, you're just such a cutie. And then, like, you're doing these roles where they're absolutely terrifying. Like, I've been scrolling and seeing your stuff, and wow, like, really terrifying. I understand now why, like, you can do one role and then come back and do something totally different because you don't even look human in some of it, right? Like, I'm just like, look, that's the same person. But okay, so in a psychological thriller, here's my thing. I love psychological thrillers. Fuck with your head. I love that type of thing. The horror part, I just have like, there's other genres where I can do, you know, like there's so much nudity and there's so much this and there's so much that because like, that I can handle, but the goriness of things sometimes I can't swallow. So tell me about this movie. It's gonna be a psychological horror thriller. I'm hooked.
Well, I'm not saying that there's not gonna be some blood in it. There's definitely a lot of that. So yeah, maybe give it a skip. I don't know. Get Anthony.
I like the fact that it's got the thriller, the thriller part of it. I think I can overlook or like, you know, take a Tums before.
we're gonna have a movie night.
Yeah, and watch it in the daylight. And just feel really...
No. We're going to watch it at night.
Anthony's never going to let me watch a scary movie in the daylight. Like,
It's not going to happen. It's unnatural. It's like waking up when it's dark outside. It's unnatural.
Okay, Hannah, listen. I promise you, I'm going to watch your movie because I love the fact that you're directing this. I love, like, I want to jump in. I want to
jump in. Check it out.
I'm going to do it. I'm saying what hooked me was the psychological thriller. And then, okay, there's horror in it.
Yeah, you'll like it. There's a lot more to it than just the scary stuff.
That's what I wanted to hear, Hannah. She sold me. At the beginning, you were kind of like, maybe skip it. No, don't tell me to skip it, Hannah. It's your work. It's your beautiful baby. I want to watch this. All right, we're going to watch it, Anthony.
Yes, we are. Drew, I need you to get back in here, man.
Yep.
Where are you?
Yeah, I was letting you guys vent that all out. So I got a few things here, Miss Hannah, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
I'm known to be the heavy hitting or weird question guy here. So we're going to just start from there.
Absolutely. Love it, Drew. Do it.
So first off, I feel like there should be if there isn't. And I know there's like some top lists, thanks to my wife's research. But you have ripped off a man's dick in film multiple times now. And I feel like that's an accomplishment just to be on that list to have done it once.
Wait a minute. What's the second one?
Well, you did it in both VHS and Siren, correct?
Did I?
It was interpreted, I believe. Oh, so, yes. God,
Hannah, yeah, we just watched it today, much. Hannah. We can confirm that it happened to Siren.
I forget.
I believe it was the first man you killed in Siren. You ripped his wiener off.
Did I?
Through his pants. Yep.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah.
I forgot.
And then a VHS obviously is the pinnacle climax gratuitous scene of you ripping that man's wiener off. Do you feel any sort of accomplishment to be on that list? Not only once, but twice.
Did you have any say in this?
Boy, howdy, since I totally forgot. No. But wow, I feel proud now. I had a penis maybe I'm not allowed to tell you this, but I actually have a penis in Dead by Midnight 2, which hasn't come out yet. And that was weird. And I'm not going to tell you what happened to that one, but okay. You know, but you guys,
now I have questions. After Drew's done, I have questions about this penis thing. It's not a weird question. I don't have weird questions, just like really simple. Like, is it weird to have to walk around, or is it just like CGI'd in? Like, do you ever have to like, it's a,
oh no, I've never had to have a prosthetic. No, it was, it's, you have to see it to understand.
Gotcha.
And if I tell you,
I was going to say, does it feel like it's just like a bag of rocks in your pants or something? I don't know. That's a weird analogy. All right.
That's also a really weird question. How does it feel to have a penis? I really want to know.
I will ask you. And I'm not being weird. I used to wear men's underwear because when I was a lot younger, because I thought it was so cool to have a pocket where I could like go into a club or anywhere and like carry things in there.
Oh, okay.
It was like a little pocket. So I always thought that must be what it felt to have a penis, because you're kind of like walk a little different because you have
got a little swagger.
Like you put stuff in your little pocket, so it wasn't like to be a gross question or a weird question. It was just from my experience of smuggling things inside of clubs in my little pocket underwear that was men's underwear. Is that what it felt like to have a penis? But I mean, I don't know.
Unfortunately, I cannot answer this question, but you know what? I'm curious now too.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Like, if it felt like, hey, I've got to ask somebody that had to use a prosthetic, but I don't know any movie of any women having to do that.
Felicia Rose. Ask Felicia Rose. Yeah.
We will ask, but I will make sure that it doesn't sound weird. Like, I just made it sound weird. So I will give a backstory before I ask her. Drew, keep
asking. I was talking to Hannah. She said she didn't know. She said to ask you.
May I ask you?
Well, this is the Weird Crew podcast.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah,
in your name,
we're supposed to be weird. Know? Yeah. No worries.
Drew, get back in here.
All right. Yeah. Let's get back weird again. All right. So this one my wife was wondering and wanted me to bring up. But from a girl's perspective, how nervous was it being naked for filming? I would be a wreck coming from female perspective, the amount of confidence it took.
Well, honestly, after a few hours, nobody cares. They just want to get the shots done. It's just like, oh yeah, there's a naked chick. And the less attention that's drawn to it, the better, because, you know, after a while it's just like, okay, yeah. Hannah's naked, whatever. Plus, you're covered in blood, and there's all this blood continuity, and you know some people will be sensitive to it, and they'll try to put a robe on you, but that will just mess up the blood continuity. And the more somebody tries to put a robe on you, the more attention is drawn to the nudity. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, just let it be, and just get the shots off. Work with professionals, and luckily I did. Everybody was super duper professional, and It really wasn't strange after the first few hours. It was just like, yeah, what? There's nothing new here that wasn't here a few hours ago, dude. You know, like, no big deal. Kind of like being on a nude beach. It's like, oh, nakedness. And then, oh, nakedness.
Yeah. And then you're all sunburnt and you're just like, oh, nakedness. Ouch. Drew, your wife has good questions. I appreciate her. Thank you for like bringing this.
And Brooke is awesome, and she's a tattoo artist, and she's a great drawer, and
nice.
Fantastic woman. I had the opportunity to meet both Drew and his wife, and they're just like the most hospitable people. So I love when Drew is on, because he does have good questions, but he also, which like I love always, you know, talks to his wife about it. So she, like love, she also gets
like
to
a
have
good a, love story.
I think it's beautiful. I like it. Continue, Drew.
Continue. Yeah. All right. So the last thing I have, in the back of my head for this, and I'm sure we can keep going as long as you're willing, but, when it comes to Siren and VHS, so like for me personally, being a Blair Witch, you know, nerdy fanboy, was how beautiful VHS was being a found footage film. But then Siren steered away from that and wasn't necessarily found footage. While it was like shot in perspective of many of the actors at times, it wasn't like an actual found footage film. How do you feel about that transition between the two?
Well, I think it could have been a found footage movie. I personally prefer to watch regular narrative, just because of the bouncy cam. It tends to make me a bit queasy, but I really do love the realistic aspect of found footage. I think that comparing the two, I think VHS was groundbreaking for what it was. And I think it was more frightening because it was found footage. But I think that Siren is all around a very good movie. I think it was extremely well done. And I think that that had a lot to do with the writing. And so if I had to pick which one's more frightening, I would definitely say VHS. If I had to pick one that I would prefer to watch, it would be Siren.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but now that I'm thinking about it, is VHS the first found footage Inception movie where it's a found footage movie inside a found footage movie?
Boy, I didn't even think about that. No, I don't know. Probably not.
Because you got the Goon of Thugs and criminals breaking into the old man's house and watching the videos, which are okay. Also found footage.
Real quick, I thought of that the moment I saw, because I saw a tiny piece of it, don't tell anybody, I was kind of at work, and I was like, Inception. So good. Yeah, continue.
Wow. Okay. See, I never even thought about it. I just thought it was a really clever way to tie it all in, because wraparounds are difficult. It's difficult to make sense, and it's difficult to make them good. Mm. You know, good as in, you know, compelling as a story when it's chopped up like that. Because you got to get back into it after each segment.
Oh, yeah. You either have to admit and be aware of it being a segmented media of entertainment compared to...
right, exactly.
Trying to find a weird wrap-in for all of it to fit without, you know, being tongue-in-cheek.
Which I think the first VHS really cleverly did. I've done anthologies since. And... some of them were like hosting, like Temptress of Terror, kind of, and now we're going to watch another one. I hope you enjoy it, you know, kind of like you said, being self-aware.
Question, because I'm not, is it like a theater type thing where like going on to the next one is very theater-ish? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, one is more theatrical, one is more self-aware, like we are hosting a group of films that we're, you know, premiering.
I'm
versus
such a newbie at this, so I have
meta,
to ask those questions.
Like Drew okay, was saying, it. Like you were saying, like it being an Inception sort of, but that's.
I love that Drew had the same question. Thought, because I really saw that, and I was like, it's like Inception, and then I thought of, I think, I don't know if it was Doug Benson, the comedian that did the whole like a dream inside a dream inside a dream inside a dream, like making fun of the Inception, like if you had to like write your own theme music to your movie. And I think about that all the time when I see movies that are like that. So it cracked me up that he also saw it, because I think it was very much Inception. But that's anyway, me being a newbie and just being like,
yeah,
high
that
five,
was really
high five.
Eloquently put. I hadn't thought of it in that manner at all.
That's really awesome. I feel really good about start. Listen, it's not my. This isn't the first time we talk about horror, but I don't know. There's something
As long as I exist on this podcast, Cynthia, there will always be some element to horror.
But I'm starting to like really, you know, it's one of those things that it's not because I don't think it's disgusting. I don't hate it. It's not like a hate thing or anything like that. It's just that I have too much anxiety to sometimes be able to enjoy. Like to because if you were to ask me, give this movie, you know, a review, it'd be really hard because I'm not somebody that's submersed into the genre because I have too much anxiety to be able to enjoy the genre. And as I get the opportunity because of Anthony really, you know, kind of having branched out to so many different types of people, and he loves horror so much, I'm getting this like taste of it that I'm really enjoying, that I get to have a conversation with you, for example, Hannah, or even, you know, Derek and stuff like that, that now I'm excited to watch it. And I really hope that for our listeners as well, that in anything that we talk about, because we're talking to the people that are in it, that hopefully it kind of piques your interest, if you will.
Me very happy.
So, I mean, you say you're not a horror fan, but everything's horror right now. Like, even kitty cartoons are vampires, you know, that are going to high school. There's elements of horror within, you know, teeny bopper dramas, like, you know, Vampire Diaries and that kind of thing, which does have a hint of the genre within it. So it's such a broad genre that I find it difficult for anybody to say that they are not a horror fan.
I guess it's the idea of, it's not that I wouldn't say I wasn't a fan of it, but I don't want to use the word when I'm around people that really submerse themselves into it. So it
was I dabble.
You know what I mean? Like my whole life is dabbling. I love to dabble. I never try to put my, because I never want to be like, God, Cynthia's such a poser. You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely. And yeah, I get teased a lot because I have been such a fraidy cat in the past, that I'm working with these actors over and over and over again on all these movies, and I do all these terrible things within these movies, and they're like, "You haven't watched my movie, have you? Because you're scared." And I'm like, "Yeah,
yeah, so I kind of am." but I think there's an appreciation which goes also, like, I think appreciation sometimes gets swept under the rug because unless you are this hardcore fan that you know everything about it, or you're like willing to watch every single movie, people have and not that I believe that that's how you should view things. Like, my people's opinion of me are none of my business, but I'm just saying that I tend to shy away from the word just because it's more of a dabble.
It's intimidating, yeah, because you don't know all the names of all the movies and everybody who's in them, and the hardcore horror fans know every single freaking thing, and these are all my friends. It's
he's got stats. You know what I'm saying? And I know your friends have stats. Like,
they're amazing. They're savants. And it's so cool. It's incredible.
I love that. And I freaking love when somebody, and because I can't do it, but I love when somebody's like, "Hey, there's this film, 1992, there's this vampire, blah, blah, blah." And you're just like, what? You are a fountain of information for this one thing that you absolutely love. And when you're a dabbler like myself, you kind of just can, I find myself being more of a, what's the, like a hummingbird that just kind of like goes here. This is delicious. And then I go over here. But I never
I just call you a fly on. That just gets on my nerves and I just want to swap.
Okay, so you're a fly to Anthony, but I have found it to be the opposite, where they're just like, oh, you don't know? Okay, I got to show you this. I got to show you that. Oh, you're scared? Well, now I want you to watch it with me. And
I freaking love that. Anthony's totally like that way with me.
It's definitely like that.
Anthony's the type of guy where he will be like, if that scares you, we need to tackle that. So that's why I love
it. It's more fun. It's more fun to watch them with people like us. Yeah. And so I just watched Nightmare on Elm Street for the first time 2 days ago. And the first one. And it was fantastic.
Did you watch it with anybody in particular? Yes, I
watched it with my friend. And it was, I found it a lot less frightening than I thought I was going to.
I love that.
And I had avoided it for decades. And then I finally watched it. It's never fantastic. Watched any of that stuff. It's I get why the first scare, the first murder. Oh man.
But here's the thing, Hannah. This is what's gonna be a little bit of a like the fuck. I love listening to murder podcasts. I am so into I listen to a shit ton of murder podcasts.
See, but I can't. I think
that's my analytical side, because then I'm like, this is real world. This is what actually is happening. I need to be prepared. And that's where my anxiety comes into place, where I'm like, this is why I lock the doors. This is why I do what I do. This is why I look at my back seat before I get into my car.
And this is why when I walk past someone's car, they lock the doors.
Okay. So those are the kind of things that I avoid, the real life things.
There's a difference between the people that really can enjoy or let go or start. That's why I have to dabble, because I can't get too into that, because it gives me anxiety, because there's no a demon monster thingy with your face. I like you. I can't, because that's not a real world thing. So I don't know how to respond to that. My brain doesn't know how to respond to that.
Whereas, but you're definitely coming around though.
That's the opposite to me. When it's something ridiculous like that, I'm fine with it. But if it's,
I love your brain. I love it.
If it's a real life murder type situation, like I'll get auditions for these reenactment things. And that's where I draw the line. If I'm auditioning for a role about somebody who was actually murdered, or a real life person, and I'm playing a real life person that actually might still exist, or their family still is alive, I turn it down, because that's not entertainment. That's somebody's life. This might affect somebody.
But I don't even view it as entertainment. For me, here's the thing. I can't watch documentaries about the civil rights movements and stuff like that, because it's so I want to throw up.
They're highly upsetting.
It's the idea that what is her name? Ruby Bridge. I said it right? She was the first little black girl. She has to go to an integrated white school, and she's escorted by law enforcement, right? And I think 2 days ago, 3 days ago, she just turned 65.
Wow, she's and only those 65. Pictures,
yeah, Ruby Bridges?
Ruby. Yeah, we've all the name seen is the
like
it's,
yeah, 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 and she's like walking with, and the pictures are all in black and white when we had color back then. Like, it wasn't that long ago we had color, and it's to kind of get you out of the zone of thinking that it was.
Yeah, just because we weren't alive. It's like history to us, because we learned about
but
it.
We're
school.
Watching it in black and white at school, thinking that it's a million years ago when we were, so I'm 32, when I was, seeing these images being 10 years old, that was even closer to the time period. So obviously, so again, what I'm getting at is those documentaries of like real life, I can't because it makes me sick to my stomach to see that. Now, I think murder is different, not because it doesn't sicken me, but because I think I'm trying to like piece together clues of like how to take care of my own family or something. It's not a healthy habit. I need to say it's definitely not healthy.
I don't know if that's the best way to.
Oh God, no. I definitely have to say like this adds to my anxiety, and it would be way healthier to be into like this genre of like horror that's like fake stuff. That you know it's fake and everybody's in on it, and you're like, you're the naked girl with the blood, and everyone's just like, hey girl, how's it going?
And maybe you've hit on something. Maybe this is how they deal with that, and they process these things that frighten them.
That must be it.
They process that in that way. If you think about it, I think Martin Luther King and Anne Frank would have been the same age. I think they would have been like 79 Barbara Walter. Right now.
It's Barbara Walters, Anne Frank, and Martin Luther. They would be, I think, 79.
They're early 90s. Yeah, they're early 90s.
Oh, 90s already? Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, sorry, I'm bad at math. But
Anthony would have guessed it.
When you think about things like that, it's just like, oh, wow, this is...
It feels like different time periods because of the black and white pictures. Like you have Barbara Walters, right? That was part of all of our childhood at some point, 2020 and whatever. Even if you didn't want her to be part of your childhood, she was part of your childhood. She was an investigative journalist. She and Martin Luther King and Anne Frank would all be the same, like would have all been in the media at the same time when she became popular, but we've got them in black and white. We've got the Jewish girl and the black man in black
and
white.
So long ago.
And then we've got Barbara Walters
in HD.
Yeah, exactly.
Now everything's in like 8K. And it's like, I watch a basketball game in the year that I was born, 1988. And I'm like, oh my God, the game. I mean, it was in color, but there's like a big difference. It's like what are these weird clothes they're wearing? The shorts are up like mid thigh.
But the thing is, it's intentionally making it seem older than it is. Anne Frank and Martin Luther King, like those were in times where it could have been in color. It should have been in color. Ruby should have been in color. And they purposely put it in black and white to deceive children at a young age to think that it was way before our time. When you're watching these games, these basketball games, they are in real time, like what it was at that time. So
yeah, back when basketball was real basketball.
Yeah, I know, right? LeBron James, what are you doing throwing yourself?
Why are you flopping all over
the floor? I mean, when were things publicized in color? Do you know?
I did a deep dive at one point.
My mom had color TVs as a kid, you know, in the 60s. I'm pretty sure they had like a color TV.
Well, let's look. I mean, color TV wasn't like, I mean, I think the 1920s, they are, you know, the talkies and the blah, blah, blah. But pictures in color. We're talking
even the
about,
Wizard of Oz was like black and white when it first came out.
Yeah, exactly. And when did that come out? The 30s?
It was a long time ago.
When did the Wizard of Oz?
But pictures of my family, they're all in black and white.
It couldn't have been in color. So like the Wizard of Oz was 1939 and they had the technology to make it, you know, the dream sequence in color and the, you know, real life in black and white. So meaning that we're talking about journalism. We're not talking about like if your family had the technology. Because, you know, I grew up super poor and in a weird in between. But like most of us grew up with not much. So like it would make sense. Like my family's photographs are also in black and white. But there was no, you didn't have the money for the for the technology at the time. Like my, you know, ancestors barely have any footage because they were growing up in Colombia in like, they have three pictures and they were like painted. You know what I mean? So like, it's a different thing when we're talking about actual journalism. So these people and that we're putting them in the book.
I thought the Wizard of Oz was the color was added later. Is that not correct?
I think it was. I mean, because don't they have the technology now where they can go back and make black and white films?
Yeah, they definitely do. But I know from like Ruby Bridges wasn't in 39. It was like in the 50s, right? So we definitely already had the technology by then, right? Let me look at. We never do this because
you're breaking sacred laws, and now you know something's gonna show up in your bedroom tonight.
Oh, that's so mean.
I believe the Wizard of Oz is actually shot in color. It was shot in two different formats.
You're the best
at the time. But when it comes to it, it was home televisions at the time were never affordable to be color. And the technology wasn't necessarily acceptable at home compared to the theater.
Right, right.
When it comes back, when we're talking like the 40s, for example, or the 50s.
And I wonder if the journalists at the time had the ability
to. We're talking about even like today. Like if you were to go look at a kid's book, like a you go to a high school or whatever, the photos are still in black and white. So Ruby Bridges, I was correct with her name. I'm so grateful for that. She was born 1954. So when she went to school, like what, 8 years later? So we already had the technology, and even today, the picture shouldn't be in black and white, right?
I don't know, because the journalist on the street might not have, the person that snapped the shot.
Because I'm like, that's interesting, because even today we're still, because like, look at like, there's other things that are shot in color during that time, but it seems like there's
very specific
things that were meant to be black and white for the effect of it. Personal opinion. And I don't know, because I definitely have to Google it later. But I just think it's really, really interesting. And you were right.
For the textbooks now to actually have them in color and to have them be, you know, just as vivid as they possibly could to show that this is humanity.
Yeah, and it would bridge that really gap too.
Was not that long ago.
Feel like it was actually there. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Instead of being like, and now we're going to talk about, you know, something that happened a bazillion years ago, and you know there was no photography back then.
We're like, 200 AD looks exactly like 1954. Yeah. Why?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hannah, you have been so freaking fantastic. Like, I'm looking forward to, you know, watching your work. Anthony is going to keep me on it. I'm going to go visit him and we'll watch it in the freaking dark, I suppose.
Do you have to dip out right now, Cynthia? Because I have a couple more questions. Okay, no, I was just...
No,
it sounded like you were trying to wrap it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying thank you, Hannah.
You have been
fantastic.
You're such a great...
And then I'm just like, my royalties.
You're adorable. I'm going to follow you on social media now, too.
Yes, you're the best. Okay, continue. I just wanted to say that.
So, Hannah, the movie that you're directing, you're also starring in, right?
No. No.
You're not in this movie at all.
No, I am. I made a little cameo.
Oh, a little cameo. Okay.
Yeah, I just jumped in there. But
I saw you were in the credits.
I was originally supposed to play one of the leads when I was just a lowly actor. But when they asked me to direct, I didn't think it was smart to be a first time feature director and to also have a big role. So I cast Kate Kiddo in it, and she was fantastic.
Nice.
And
so that was a decision that you made. You just wanted to take a step back.
You know, me and the producers together. Yeah. And we'd all worked together before, and I knew that she had the chops.
Hannah left her ego at the door. I just want to make sure everybody understands.
I want to say I would have done the same thing.
Men would have never done that.
I want to say that I would have done the same thing, but
put me
look
in
at me.
Director,
actor, get producer,
my,
writer.
Look at my abs. Look at my face. Look, and she said, "You know what? This first, God damn it, Hannah."
So Hannah, if I'm not mistaken, because I didn't Google anything, I'm mostly just going off memory. Did you go on a little rant about how Hollywood is all like pro woman and pro woman producers and directors, but they don't actually want to, you know, give out any money to those directors and upcoming directors? Is that accurate?
No, of course not.
Okay.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't? Okay. I was thinking I could have sworn it was you, but it might have been someone else.
No.
I still agree with the sentiment, though.
Yes, Hollywood is super pro woman and pro directors
until they actually have to hire them or pay them. Right.
That was not Hannah. Everyone in Hollywood, that was not Hannah.
That was not Hannah.
No, of course not. That was a podcast that I was on, but that wasn't me speaking. I was on a podcast where that was a topic.
Okay.
I don't think that's entirely inaccurate. But it's no, it's not something I said. No.
Okay. Ooh, I like that. She was like, I didn't say those words.
Cutting it out of the podcast. It never happened.
Right now, snooping.
Drew, what you got? You got anything?
I do. I do. I got one more little segment, I suppose.
Love it,
Miss Hannah. It's a three parter, but you can just rapid fire it back at me if you want. But I would personally like to know what in the future, or maybe it's already in the back of your mind, would you like to work on or like to star in or like to write, whatever it might be? And then I want to also hopefully know your favorite, the movie you love to hate and the movie you hate to love, I guess, to put it simply. I'm a lover of like really bad movies that everyone else kind of scoffs at me when I show it to them for the eighth time in a row, you know?
Drew with the tough questions.
Yeah, I'm a toughie. Sorry.
Crap.
So we can start with, if you had a dream scenario to either write, direct, or act in something specific, do you have anything you might have thought of prior?
Really excited about the script that Josh Wilcox wrote. That is a very slow burn, psychological horror thriller. And I intend to get that made, hopefully in my next project. And I don't know if I'm going to direct it or act in it, but that's one that I think is very, very special. And, I don't know how else to describe it, but what I would like to do, I'd like to do more period pieces. I'd like to do more things with music and to do more musicals. And movies I hate to love and love to hate. Wow. You should have texted that to me beforehand.
I didn't have your number. Excuse me.
Oh, no.
We put her...
How dare you guys? How dare you guys?
Okay.
But I understand, like, with period pieces, like, even in VHS, but in Creepshow, you were, like, in the TV in a time long ago, and you did a really good job at, bringing that time. Your accent was good. The makeup was good. And you really did crush it in both episodes of Creepshow, and the other one was kind of like, it was a little bit like a siren, but like the male version of the siren. They were kind of, bringing it all together. You did a really good job in both episodes of Creepshow. I really love Creepshow. It's a really cool, fun show. Greg Nicotero does an amazing job taking a, step away from The Walking Dead and focusing on that. And I hope Creepshow TV series sticks around for a while, and hopefully you'll be back for more episodes in the future.
I sincerely hope so as well. You know what? I'm going to have to get back to you on the love to hate, hate to love one.
Yes, write it into us, and we'll read it on another episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I also really want to do a Western.
A Western?
Yes. Please.
You want to be a gunslinger?
I want to be like the, the happy, jolly one that's like making jokes that you don't see coming.
Oh my God, I love that with you. You have the most expressive eyes. You would be like killing it, telling a joke and then just sitting. Oh, I can't wait. Oh my God, make it happen. Hollywood. Not even Hollywood. I don't even give. Listen,
we'll make it happen. The Weird Crew Podcast production.
Nice. What are we gonna do?
I freaking love it. Oh my God, Hannah! Seriously.
I'm excited. Yeah,
those eyes. We gotta do that. I'm gonna be thinking about them. Not in a creepy way. Not a creepy. See,
no, I didn't take it as creepy. I didn't.
Okay,
take it as creepy.
I feel like
Cynthia, you're canceled.
I'm canceled already. No, it's just you have very expressive eyes. They're really good. It's like I would love to see a Western exactly the way you described it, where it was like you tell the jokes, whatever. I could just see it, like your little face, like just, I'm so excited. I want to see it. I'm gonna campaign for it.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, Drew, that I wasn't able to answer your question properly. I'll be thinking about it though, and. Yeah.
He's all right. He just loves to throw those little grenades and then
it was
like,
a damn good question. It really
it was.
It
was a really good question. Drew, you're banned from coming back on the podcast.
Don't ever come back here, buddy. You and your good questions.
Take your questions somewhere else. Philosophical questions somewhere else.
Oh my God.
This has been fun. This has been a great time.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys. And man, if I ever see you on a flight.
You're gonna see us.
Oh my God.
Are you gonna give me peanuts? Are you gonna put me in first class?
Yes.
I will definitely throw someone out.
I'll definitely boot someone out of first class.
Hopefully
it's on one of our planes where we have like the lay flat seats and you have your own little pod.
Oh, yeah. Anthony's, you know, lay flat seats company is very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. We don't name companies, Hannah, but you're in Atlanta. I'm pretty sure you've flown my company.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a little teaser. You're in Atlanta. You're pretty sure you flew my company.
Uh-huh. We have no idea. We have no idea what you're talking about.
No idea.
No,
you probably
no,
don't even
to
fly with them. I'm going to try my best to drag them up there to see you in a couple weeks at Days of the Dead.
Oh,
so.
My gosh. Please
Drew,
come visit
you got
to
do it. Drew, please
that's
drag
the plan.
Him up. I'm really going to. And I want footage. I want footage of this.
I'm really going to try to come. You know, at my seniority, it's hard to hold weekends off, but I'm definitely going to try to make it happen.
Well, then I'm coming. Yeah. Drew, take me. Take me.
We'll make it happen.
Okay, Hannah, not a problem. I would love to get something signed from you. You are fantastic. So if it's Anthony that gets down there before I can,
or how about you fly down here like you did last time, and we went over to Derek's house, had dinner. How about we have dinner with Hannah somewhere?
Oh my God, nice. Hannah, if you are down for it, I would love to. This has been so freaking. Now I can. Can I say this now? Without anybody freaking out that you have more
nobody's
questions.
Freaking out. All right.
Okay,
all right.
Cool. I just I had a great time.
I had a lovely time too. And thanks for having me. And yes, please holler at me when you're in Atlanta and I will have dinner with you and I will sign whatever you
want. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, well, here's the thing I'll do. I will watch your new projects. I can't promise that I'm gonna do the VHS one quite yet.
Give it a skip. Give it a skip. It's okay. Gratuitous. It's horrifying.
It's a little bit. It's a little bit much for me because I'm still dabbling.
You don't want to see her rip a man's balls off, like
I mean,
full frontal frame.
I just can't.
Ground level.
So, because then I think about anger. Like if I had it and the pain and the. I'm not a man hater. Like
you're so sensitive. She's so sensitive.
I really am. I've got a grandson, and I just like that pops into my head, and I'm just like, oh, my poor baby. He would be.
It's not real.
I know, and I let it think it's real, and I'm turning into one of those people. I think like a few years ago, I'd have been like, oh, that's so great. But now I've got like a family and stuff, and now I've become a different person. I don't like it. It's stupid. No,
give
I love
it.
It
but- there's other things that I've done that you could watch. You could watch Toast of London. I'm in that.
Listen, I'm following you. I have all, okay. I have pulled up all of your works of art, and I will be watching. But here's the thing, If I have the opportunity to go down or Anthony does, I will make sure that I have watched. Does it come out before the?
No, my
it doesn't.
No, my director royal debut is not going to be out by.
Okay, well then I'll just pinky promise that I'll watch it, and then I would love to have like a little something something from you, just a little signed.
We're gonna make it happen because that's what we do. Fantastic. We make things happen on this podcast.
Hannah, you have been just fantastic. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much. And Anthony, you're the real one here. He's the one that constantly, and I don't know if I say this enough on this podcast,
you love me, like, and I'm handsome.
I do love you, but you are the guy that like makes these awesome interviews happen, and I can't thank you enough because it is such a cool thing to have the opportunity to talk to people. Like I said, when we were talking about being a flight attendant or whatever, is being able to talk to people you would have never had the chance to, or cross paths, or had a reason to. I think sometimes we have so much access to so many people, but you have to have a reason to have access, right? Like if somebody just texts you out of the blue, it's kind of like, ooh, but it's nice to have a reason. So whether it's a flight or whether it's a artistic project, a film or podcast or whatever. That's why I feel very, very lucky to have this opportunity to talk to all of you. I mean, Drew, you're fantastic. You have really great questions. You have a really great podcast. Hannah, you are just like, I love the way your mind works. So I just had to say shout out to Anthony again for making these type of, things happen because we wouldn't had the opportunity otherwise.
And just so you know, I love you too. All right. So Hannah, where can people find you and all that good stuff?
Well, I have a website. It's hannahfearman.com, and I'm on Facebook, Hannah Fearman, and Instagram, Creatively Hannah Fearman.
You guys got to follow her on Instagram. These freaking cute pictures.
I tweet every now and then. And so That's about it. I put all my updates on there. So,
and all your links will be in the description of the podcast episode. So you guys, thank all you, you got to do is just click on that in the description, and you can go find out all about Hannah. You can find us at Weird Crew Podcast on Instagram. You can send us an email, theweirdcrewpodcast@gmail.com. You can find Cynthia at Jet Lag Crew. You can find me at Weird Anomaly. And Drew, do you have an Instagram, bro?
I do. Just standard of mime soapbox, you know. Whatever.
I follow you, Drew. I'm like, I got you back,
baby. Don't worry.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, it was a pleasure, guys. Oh, you, sorry.
Anna, absolutely.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I just, real quick, before we ended, I was just in Kona yesterday, and I walked into this little shop. I have to shout out this artist, because her artwork is just absolutely beautiful. Punky Aloha Studio. We'll go ahead and put her stuff in the description as well. Her artwork is amazing, and she has tons of like not only prints but also like towels and all sorts of stuff. The Aloha spirit very much in everything she draws and makes. They're not tiny, thin little ladies. There's like thicker women on surfboards, which I appreciate that, you know, that's not just the what you think you're supposed to see on in media. So I really, really appreciated her. I went into one of the places that is featuring her artwork, and I fell in love with it immediately. So I just had to give a shout out. I'm on the islands quite a bit. And so I just had to shout her out.
That sounds awesome.
Aloha. Yeah, a local artist, just freaking amazing.
And you know, I went to Hawaii with you too. So there is that. And we also did the episode with Ghost Lore of Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a lot of fun. big love for Hawaii and its native people and its locals. Always, please, I just have to say this. If you visit the island of Hawaii or any of the islands of Hawaii, please, please respect the locals, the natives, and respect the land. Please do not touch the turtles. Please do not touch the roosters or the chickens. And if you go hiking or anything and you see something that for you is strange, any bundles of leaves and things, that please don't touch any of that stuff. That No. isn't for you. That isn't supposed to be something that you are need to be aware of or anything like that. It's something for the island and not for you as a non-native, as a non-local, as a visitor. Just please just keep that in mind, and please use as much I don't know, like non-plastic stuff.
Yes,
when you go
and shop local and shop pay local. Cash. Yeah, always yeah, yeah. Pay cash.
Yeah. If you can. And the locals are incredible people, but let's just remember that it is their land and we want to support that. So I just
That's
had
beautiful.
To say that a little bit, because I do have the opportunity to be there quite a bit. It is a privilege. And so I just wanted to shout that out. So
well, that's a perfect way to end the podcast episode. So we are going to get out of here. It's been a pleasure talking to all of you guys, as always.
Hugs, Hannah. Hugs, Drew. Thank you. You two are like beautiful people. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. That's the Weird Crew Podcast. We're getting out of here. Love you guys. Stay weird.
Bye.